And welcome back to episode 167 even of the Weekly Tech Wrap with me, Jay.
Yeah, me, Carl.
Oh, that seven just wasn't coming out. I blame the heat. It's too hot in here.
I know. It's just, summer's arrived.
Yeah, summer has arrived, hasn't it, as of some description here, at least for a few days here in the UK. It will no doubt revert back to type within the week or so, I'm sure. So it has been the week of the Apple event, and what an event it was indeed, wasn't it? We saw its Let Loose virtual event, which was run mid afternoon, wasn't it, UK time?
About 3 o'clock in the afternoon for us. Wasn't it like 6 or 7 in the morning for the very guys early, in the US?
Very early for our US friends and colleagues on that point. But it was quite an event indeed. We saw a whole raft of new information coming from iPads to new pencils, keyboards. And we'll cover all those points in just a minute. But first, before we kick off on that, though, there is one story we wanted to cover this week rather than leave it next week, and which is around Nintendo. And it's, I want to say, eradication of
emulation.
Emulation. Yes, that's a great, that would have been the headline, wasn't it? Eradication of emulation. So Nintendo have sent, wasn't it, over DMA, or so that to the DMCA, excuse me, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act notices for over 8,000 GitHub repositories. Which have been hosting code for an emulator. So sounds like they're cracking down a bit then.
They are. So yeah, they're really going. It's called Yuzu. It's a Switch emulator. They went after the makers back in end of February kind of time. Again, with a DMCA takedown. They sued the guys that made it. And apparently very quickly, the creators settled for $2.4 million. And the promise that they would basically permanently refrain from engaging in any activities to do with emulation, piracy, breaking Nintendo's kind of controls and stuff. Well, the problem with that was, though, it was open source and on GitHub. So it was very, very quickly forked. Apparently, 8,535 GitHub repos had the code in it. So, Nintendo's done kind of a blanket DMCA takedown to all of those. Again, for the whole illegal circumvention, Nintendo's copyright technology, that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's a large number of takedown requests.
It is a bit, isn't it? And I understand that the GitHub have been kind of supporting those developers, haven't they, to help remove the code and help them with illegal resources.
Yeah, but they haven't taken down immediately. They've given them time to remove the offending code, as well as pointing them to kind of legal resources and guidance and submitting kind of counter notices for the DMCA. But I don't suppose any of them will stand the chance. Though I don't think anyone's ever actually stood up to Nintendo and gone to court with them.
I was just going to say, normally they steamroller people, don't they? Let's be fair.
They do. Yeah, exactly.
But interestingly, though, given that, talking of emulators, the Delta emulator was available on the iOS store, wasn't it, recently?
Yeah,
I've still got it on my phone. Now, that is an emulator. There are no ROMs with it, but it is a full-on emulator and is also available through the third-party marketplaces in the EU. And I've used it. So I've got a few ROMs that I've got available, and I imported them into my Dropbox account into there, and it works a treat. I was very impressed, to be fair. Very impressed.
It even supports external controllers. So you can pop that on your iPad, get out your Xbox controller, and play some games.
It's pretty cool, I have to say. I'm just, given that before all that kind of stuff used to pop up and disappear within seconds, it was quite surprising that Apple allowed it through, isn't it?
Yeah, or even Nintendo hasn't gone after it. But I think it's a slight rebranding of the name, but the code of this has been available for, I don't know, 15 odd years, I think, in various forms. So there's obviously something about it that Nintendo hasn't managed to go after them about.
Yeah, very strange, doesn't it, that I say that. I mean, I think that if you look at it, Nintendo, especially if you look at this emulation of SNES games, original Game Boy games, that kind of stuff, NES, why? From a longevity point of view, Nintendo would want to keep them playable and out there because, yes, you can't buy them. Well, actually, technically,
you can, a virtual console. Can.
Yeah, I was going to say you can buy. But from a point of view, is that, so if a game's 35 years old, why are we arguing over where you can play it?
Because they can charge you £10 or whatever, or your subscription to Nintendo Online to get access to that select few they've allowed you.
Yes. Yes, that's the point. Let's be honest. This is Nintendo. Don't forget, they still sell Switch games at the same price they were released at 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
Games I've got on there that are 3 years old, I'm like, I still want 60 quid. And I'm like, I'm not paying for it. I wasn't paying for it brand new. I'm not paying for 3 years later.
No. That is the problem with Nintendo. I wish Nintendo's depreciation affected my car and other things.
It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
It would be amazing. Right then, let's kick off with the Apple Let Loose event then. So, Apple Let Loose, it was iPads. We said it was iPads, and it was all about
all the iPads. All about the iPads.
Yeah. And so we got a slew of new devices, didn't we? Effectively, we got four new iPads, didn't we? Technically four new iPads. But if we break that down to simple, we got two new iPad ranges. When I say new, they are the latest iteration of the iPad Pro and the iPad Air. And there was, before we break it down into the new iPad Pro, let's just talk about one thing really quickly, and then which is the sock. And you called it, I doubted it, but it's true. M4 is here, isn't it?
M4 is here, and it's all about AI, which is, kind of what we said. I'm kind of thinking, if I'd waited for the next iPad Pro iteration 2 years later, the iPad would be well behind on the AI gravy train.
Yeah, and I think we'll talk a little bit more about the AI software elements towards the end of it when we kind of look towards WWDC. But yeah, you're right. It's all about AI. It's all about the power. And Apple have come out and said that the M4 was it was part of the reason why these new iPads are so powerful. The size in the iPads as well, the fact of what they can deliver through AI, the neural engine, the displays, isn't it? It's all in there. And also the improvements over the M2 range, which Apple are stating they are 50% faster than the M2 processors. Now, they didn't say M3, notably.
One day we'll get some actual comparisons, some realistic ones.
So let's take a little step back then, and let's talk about the iPad Pro, which is, according to Apple, is their thinnest ever device, isn't it? The iPad
Pro. Yeah, not just finished ever iPad, device. That's so thinner than that iPod Nano.
That's the one. That's it indeed, yeah. So what do we get then? We've got two new devices, the 13-inch and the 11-inch.
13-inch, obviously the M4 SoC, and we'll talk about that in a minute. You got up to 2 terabyte of storage, your usual Thunderbolt 4, that kind of stuff, ProMotion, 5G. It was an upgrade. The camera's moved, hasn't it? It's a landscape camera.
Yep.
It's been upgraded and moved to the side, which makes more sense. You've got a very nice looking new screen that uses tandem OLED display technology, which is basically they've taken an OLED display, they've taken another one, stacked them on top of each other to make it super, super bright. It does look very, very nice. And if you pay up for one of the 1 terabyte or 2 terabyte options, you can spec or option nano texture glass, which looks like they've just kind of finely etched the screen, but apparently it makes the colors more vibrant, allows more light through.
So there was a little bit of controversy as well with the advertisement for the iPad Pro, wasn't there? So during the event, Apple had what appeared to be like a large warehouse with this metallic square rectangle object, and on it was all kinds of musical instruments, paint, wasn't it? Kind of creative tools and elements. And what suddenly happened was they were in the middle of a large crusher, weren't they? And as it came down, it crushed all the instruments, the paint, all the easels and all the other bits and bobs. And at the end of it, when it opened up again, there was an iPad, wasn't there? And I guess their argument was it's for creators.
Yeah, the creators didn't like that argument, did they? I mean, I just thought it was funny. It's a marketing stuff. I don't know why people got so outraged over it. If that had been Samsung doing it, would we have seen any outrage over it? I doubt it.
I don't. And I think the messaging was clear, was that I suppose they were arguing, this is saying that Apple are replacing all of these things with the iPad. No, I think what the argument was is that you can do all these things on the iPad, there's all these things, the tools there that are in this one ultra small device. Yeah, okay, you're never going to get a, world-class elite pianist, who plays a Steinway or whatever the best players are, sat at a table with an iPad Pro under their keys playing the best music ever. That's not what it's about. No. But if you have a band that are looking to create music on the fly, or they're doing session work, it's a perfect device for that. And the same when we talk about a little bit more about some of the apps that have come out as well, it's not replacing, it's just a new capability, isn't it?
It is indeed. It was a storm in a teacup. Is that the saying? It was
pointless. I think so.
Yeah.
So we've got the OLEDs then. So let's talk about the screen a little bit. So we got the new iPad Pros are using this new tandem OLED design, which give you up to 1,000 nits of brightness, which is quite a bright screen.
Yeah, burn your retinas off.
Yeah, burn them off, yeah. And this is all built in into that, obviously, super thin device. I kind of was trying to work out this Nano Pro coating, as you say. Yeah. I couldn't really get it. They're saying that the standard displays are more of a matte finish, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the other one, this Nano display, is slightly more glossier. As you say, gives more vibrancy in the colours. I think it's better from a touch perspective as well, in terms of fingerprints. But does mean you've got to cough up for it, though, isn't it? You've got to cough up for the 1 or 2 terabyte option to get that.
To get the option to buy it on top.
Yeah.
And that's so not the only thing that you're getting if you get the 1 or 2 terabyte ones. There are slightly different specs on the iPads.
There are.
Obvious. Yeah, if you get the 256 or the 512 gig option, you just get 8 gig of RAM and 9 CPU cores. And obviously you can't spec the nano texture glass. But if you get the 1 or 2 terabyte, it comes with double the RAM at 16 gig, 10 CPU cores, and obviously you can option that nano texture glass. So yeah, if you need more RAM, you're going to have to get at least more storage. Money. Yeah. But I mean, had the price gone up? No, it's the same price, is it? $999 for the 11-inch and $1,299 for the 13-inch. Has that gone up in price compared to the old one?
It's difficult to tell, isn't it? You have to go back and see Apple, because obviously there's no way of comparing. I think they have gone up slightly, which is no surprise given Apple and what they're delivering on.
Yeah, I think they have. The accessories haven't. We'll talk about accessories in a bit. They hadn't gone up in price.
Yeah, so I think this is the thing, isn't it? And we'll come back to those accessories in just a second. So let's have a look at, obviously, we'll talk about the stock in a moment, but let's talk about the cameras then, because they've moved, as you say, the camera on the front-facing side to the landscape view. So this was something you and I were talking about during the event or afterwards, was I was saying on my iPad Pro 11-inch, which is the 2021 version.
Is that the M1 one you've got?
Yes, it is, yes, yeah. Right. The camera's in the original place, which even when you're doing FaceTime or anything like that, it just, you're always looking off, and it's really, really annoying. Mm. I'm not suggesting that's something for me to change it on, but I can see how that is a minor but a good improvement. The rear camera is 12 megapixel camera situated in the back in the similar square housing that we've seen before. Not massively updated there at all. But what they have done is added in some additional capabilities. One of the things they called out was document scanning, and I thought this was brilliant. So I'm sure you've tried to scan a document with applications and stuff, haven't you, on your iPad or device? Yeah. And you know, sometimes you just get shadows, don't you, or it doesn't quite come out as it should do in the sense. But now they've built in this new image stitching adaptive flash mechanism. So when you take a picture using the scan mechanism, which is built into the built-in apps, but also will be allowed through APIs into the other applications stacks, it takes multiple pictures and uses the flash to give you almost like a photocopy style, doesn't it, scan, which I think looks absolutely stunning. Now, will we get that real-world use? I don't know. But will that help me? Yes, it will, because getting that scanner out of the cupboard isn't always convenient.
Can we not just have it on the phone, though? The phone's just far easier device to be taking pictures of documents rather than the giant
iPhone. Know full well that the iPhone 16 is going to have that. You know it.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know, Reid, that we've lost the ultra-wide on the back, though.
Yes, I didn't see that mentioned anywhere.
No, I'm sure I read it in an article saying they've ditched the ultra-wide.
Again, most people are not taking high-end photographs with their iPads, unless you're one of those people you see at concerts holding an iPad up.
they should have their iPads confiscated.
They should indeed, yes.
Yeah.
So so that was it. So in terms of the iPad itself, then, you know, the thinness is improved. We've got the new screen. We've got the improved cameras set up in the back and front, as we know that. What about the stock then? Let's talk about the stock before we talk about
the M4.
Yeah. So what do we get then? What are we getting with the M4 that what we couldn't do with the M3, or why they didn't go to the M3, which, let's be honest, would have made a lot of sense.
I think it was all about power savings and obviously the AI. So we got a massively bumped up neural engine, apparently giving 38 trillion operations a second. Now, unfortunately, I don't know what the one in the M3 does, but apparently this is a big jump up. Apparently, it's as you mentioned, I think you said 50% faster than the M2, or the same speed as the M2, but half the power requirements. four times the GPU of the M2. What else did we get? It's 3-nanometer technology. It's got hardware accelerated ray tracing. It's got ProRes and AV1 acceleration. Hardware accelerated mesh shading. 120 gigabytes a second of unified memory bandwidth. It's going to be a quick chip, but obviously we've not seen any actual benchmarks yet.
No, because there's none in the wild, but there will be from this week.
Friday.
Is it today you can order?
It might be today.
Or was it? Oh no, I think you can order now, and they're available next week, isn't it?
Next week. You can order today, available for next Friday.
And that next Friday is the 17th of May, as we speak on
that's
the show.
That's the one.
So we should actually start to get those out and about in the real world. So this is still the 3-nanometer process. They're saying this is a second generation 3-nanometer. So again, as you say, this is all about clearly power efficiency. So, as I said at the start, they reckon 50% more powerful than the M2s.
Yeah.
But without real world consideration, it's very difficult, isn't it, to actually say what that means?
This is Apple benchmarking. Take it with a large pinch of salt.
But this is all about, as you say, it's all about the AI capability. It's all about the imaging capability. That hardware ray tracing is in there. We've got an AV1 support, ProRes support as well, which is going to come in handy with some of the new capabilities with Final Cut Logic the Final Cut, multicam applications, which is now available for iPads, isn't it? Which is very clever, clever app that they've released. I'll come back to that in just a second because I want to just quickly talk about the two other main accessories. That's the word I was looking for for the iPad Pro then. So with the iPad Pro then, we've got obviously a new M4 SoC.
Yeah.
We've got the new keyboard that's come out. So we've got a Folio keyboard, which is an improvement on the original Folio keyboard that I've got with the cantilevered edge, isn't it? So as you lift it up, it cantilevers. Now, we were talking about this just after the event, and I said to you, the weight of that keyboard is just, it almost
needs to go on a diet.
Yeah. It needs to go on a diet. And the weight of the iPad is probably a third of the weight of the keyboard itself. It's a phenomenally heavy piece of kit. And I'm interested to see whether or not, given the new weights of the iPad, which, down quite a bit, whether the new keyboard is going to make any difference. So interesting to see that as well. But the new keyboard comes with a shrunken MacBook keyboard, doesn't it?
Yeah, really? It's more aimed as a pro device. So it's not called the Magic Keyboard Pro, is it? So it's a pro device, but it's got aluminium palm rest. It's got a function key row now. So you've got volume, brightness, F keys, and an escape key, finally. It's got the trackpad's a lot bigger by the look of it, isn't it? And apparently it's got haptic feedback on the trackpad as well. So the pricing remains the same as the previous one.
$299 for the keyboard in the UK, isn't it?
$349 if it's the 13-inch one. Still not cheap, but hasn't gone up in price.
No. But I have to say, I'm not going to shout out one, but the escape and the function keys, I think, is a really good addition. What I would argue is, though, until they sort out that multi-screen thing, I can't say that it's going to be a replacement for myself. I'll come back to judgment.
And one thing to be aware of, this only works on the new iPads.
It does.
And your old ones won't work on the new iPads.
No.
Much like the Pencil Pro.
Yes, that's a good segue to the Pencil. So let's cover then the brand new $129 Pencil Pro.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, but again, that hasn't gone up in price compared to the Gen 2 Pencil, is it? Which is still $129.
No, but okay,
it's $129. Like the keyboard, it's still a ridiculous amount of money.
Let's talk about this Pencil for a minute, because this is quite an upgrade, isn't it, to the first Apple Pencil?
It has got a big jump. So what
came out 2015, didn't it? The first Pencil.
Yeah, it's been a while now.
It's been a long time.
So we've got new features for once. We've got a barrel roll gyroscope feature, which basically means that you can tell when you're twisting the pencil around. I don't know what benefit that adds, but it can do it. The big one is the squeeze gesture, isn't it?
Yeah.
You squeeze the pencil, and it allows you to do trigger software functions. It could be switching between paintbrushes. It could be doing something else. There's a haptic feedback now, isn't there, in the tip there, which kind of pulses when you use the squeeze or double tap of the status. And one for forgetful people, it's got Find My Support.
It has got to Find My Support. So yeah, you now can find your pencil when you've lost it. The other thing it brings is a new hover capability as well. So you can hover.
Gen 2?
I wasn't sure. I thought that was new, but I think you're right. I think it is.
Well, I thought that was in. That was one of the features of the last one.
I think it was. Now you say that. I think the hover, the barrel roll capability is brand new. And so as you say, the squeezes as well. Yeah. I think hover's just been, I think it has been carried over, as you say there. Mm. They did a really good demo from Procreate, who showcased an artist sketching, didn't they, with the pencil?
Yeah.
And I was really impressed how they did that. And they used a new barrel roll. They used a capture capability of the pencil to lift an element off the design, didn't they? And make it into a video on the Procreate app. And I have to say, I wish I was that talented, because Procreate looks like an awesome app. It really does. Shame I can't draw for Toffee, really. But so, you know.
Exactly. But again, another warning on compatibility here.
Yeah.
Your Gen 1 and your Gen 2 pencils will not work with the new iPads. The new pencil will not work with the old iPads. But if you randomly have the USB-C pencil, which is the cheap one, the replacement of the replacement of the Gen 1 Lightning one, isn't it, basically? You're in luck. That will work with the new iPads. Bizarre.
Yeah, so this is bonkers. So if you've got the original pencil but with the USB-C upgrade, like you say, the one you take the lid off and you plug directly into the device, that will work. But my wireless charging pencil Mark II, whatever you want to call it, will not work. I mean, somebody somewhere, and it's clearly in marketing, I reckon, went, oh, I've got a great idea. We can make more money.
No, that was accounting. Yes, yeah. So what we'll do is we'll find the guys who bought the last iPad Pros with the brand new keyboards and the brand new pens, and we'll make them buy it all again.
I mean, talk about...
But the cheap guys are good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because they can't afford it.
They can't afford it, but they might still buy the iPad.
Just talk about...
It is a bit ridiculous.
And the same with the keyboard, though, isn't it? You know?
Yep. Yeah.
To a degree.
And what makes matters worse, you're no longer getting the stickers in the boxes anymore.
Oh, that's it, we're done. I'm never buying Apple.
Cancel it. No, apparently due to environmental concerns, they're not putting the stickers in the box anymore.
That was always just...
I was always surprised you ever got the stickers, to be honest.
Oh, well, yeah, but, you know.
But no, that tradition is gone. No more stickers.
Man. I have to say, though, going back to that keyboard, it does look nice in black.
It does.
It does look really nice. And, you know, they said they've made it thinner and lighter. It is an impressive-looking piece of kit. It's just a shame it isn't carried over onto the other devices. But
yeah. But now, if you buy the new iPad Pros and new keyboard, you're well into MacBook territory.
This pricing. Is the problem, right?
I think you're well into MacBook Pro territory pricing-wise.
Yeah, so this is the thing. Talking about, let's just pause there for a second. So let's talk about one of the new apps that, again, is part of this crossover environment. So Final Cut Pro for iPad came out last year, didn't it?
And
brought to the iPad, again, one of the last major holdouts from Apple in terms of software, didn't they?
Yes. Done.
Now, there's this new solution called Live Multicam that they've released with the iPads. So this is brand new now that needs apparently the M4, according to them. Well, it needs the M4 to be able to render this. So it allows you to do... use the iPad as... How do I describe it? Basically a director's view of the camera feeds that are happening. So you can have four camera feeds on there.
From iPhones.
Or iPads. And each of them will provide a director's view of the camera in real time.
Yeah.
And each one of them can then be dialed in for focus, zoom, editing the shot as they go. And on the camera, you have your new Final Cut camera that comes to the iPad now and the iPhone that allows you to, you know, be the camera person and doing that. And I was blown away by this because it looked pretty much wireless, didn't it? I don't know whether it... Now, I'm not I'm not entirely sure whether they were plugged in through an adapter, but I think it was wireless.
Ooh, I think so. And then they've all got Wi-Fi 6E and stuff in there, haven't they?
Yeah.
So there should be enough bandwidth to provide your access point is up to spec, unless it's doing a point-to-point.
I wonder if it is, but the fact that it showed you these, you know, a couple of cameras on the iPhones were on gimbals, and you know this iPad Pro was clear, and it was 4K resolution they're shooting at, and it was unbelievable. You know, they were doing 30 frames a second, 4K ProRes, I think it was what I saw on the design.
Yeah,
you know, that's some serious camera footage going on there, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
and then being able to see that live on an iPad. Now, again, back to what we talked about, this isn't going to replace high end red cameras.
Oh, no, not at all.
Director's booths, all that kind of stuff.
And the likes of me and you will never use it.
No, but if you're a creative studio...
Students,
right? The ability now to shoot in other areas with the devices you have to hand with minimal accessories and get production-level quality, this is going to make... I think we're going to see a lot more maybe adverts, television, you know, shot where perhaps having cameras is quite... You know, large cameras is quite
made
bulky.
Made an iPhone.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot more of this going forward. So for me, this was quite an impressive piece of kit, you know, that we saw in that. And then the other piece of software that they talked about was Final Cut Logic for iPad. Which isn't new. It came out last year, didn't it? But the new one now gives you more capabilities. So the new one now is aimed at more about on-the-fly session work. So there's a whole new piece around adding in AI-generated keyboards. There was bass, there was drums, wasn't there? So these are using AI to create, and they've called it, I think they called it session music system, wasn't it? I think they called it. That can now build its own music in there. And there's another thing called Chroma Glow, which was a new machine learning-powered effect that has different styles for kind of feeling of the music of the tent. Very clever, but again, all pinged around AI capabilities, which I'm sure the M4 is going to be used very heavily on there. Now, they will work on apparently these new capabilities, Chroma Glow, and there's another one called Stem Splitter, will work on the Mac version of Logic Pro, but the AI stuff is apparently, I think, is only on the session piece, is only on the iPad.
Ah, well, so it was nice to actually see the apps in real life, because I think last year it was just a press release, wasn't it? When they were
launched, yeah, they weren't
the launched. It was just a press release. There was no video footage of the app or anything. It was a couple of screenshots and job done.
No, and I really liked. And again, I know Apple. We talked about it before in many shows how polished the Apple events are, but it was really good to see. You know, I think the musicians that work there, and I really liked how they did that transition. You know, into the studios, into the creative spaces. It was nicely done. You know, again, it's not just Tim Cook still on stage, is it? Talking. It's very. Very high quality and transition piece.
Yeah. All right, so, time for the last announcement of the event. Well, technically it was the first one of the event though, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh shit, it was the new iPad Air, and I'm gonna argue this was probably my favourite one out of the event because it was so reasonably priced.
It was, let's be fair.
Yeah, I mean, so it was a minor bump. Is it the sixth generation of iPad Air now? We've got a bump to an M2. The big one was you've now got a 13-inch version of it, haven't we? Instead of just the 11, up to a terabyte of storage, 4 slightly crap colours. I wish I'd get more vibrant.
They're not colours. They're not colours.
They're shades of grey. We've got blue grey, pink grey, grey, white grey. Whatever it is.
Come on. I'm sorry. I'm fed up of trying to defend that now. They're not colours.
We want some colour. But yeah, I mean, look, you've got the faster chip. You've got Touch ID. Again, you've got the camera on the side. You've got Wi-Fi 6E. It supports Magic Keyboard. So it supports your Magic Keyboard. So if you want to upgrade to an M2 Air, save yourself some money. It'll work with your accessories. It was a minor upgrade. There was nothing really massive-wise, but the price... $599 for the 11-inch and $799 for the 13-inch. So $799 for a 13-inch, I think, is a pretty good price.
I absolutely agree with you, to be honest with you. I don't see any faults here with this device. I just don't understand what exists. I'm serious. Because when you look at the iPad lineup, you've got these two new iPads, 11-inch and 13-inch. Again, who would have thought a 13-inch iPad... a 13-inch iPad Air. You wouldn't have believed it, would you? You just would have thought it's crazy. But I do think there's value there. You know, you've got the M2 processor in there, so it's super fast. It supports the Pencil. Woohoo! Supports Magic Keyboard now, as you say. The camera's moved, obviously, because that's on the landscape piece, as we know that. The only thing that's interesting about it, there's no Face ID, which makes me think that the Face ID hardware costs too much money for them to put in there to keep it below that kind of 600.
Yeah, it's still Touch ID, you're right.
Yeah. So that's my only kind of annoyance there, that it's Touch ID.
Yep. Okay. But I mean, I liked it. I worked it out the other day. My iPad Pro is 7 years old. So it probably needs an upgrade. And I think I'd probably go for an Air.
What I'd love to know is how much more powerful would be an M2 iPad Air versus my M1 iPad Pro. Because I think that device now, it pretty much is my Pro device.
It's at or more, because I don't think there's any difference in the Pro M2 chip in the iPad Pro, is there?
Well, I think
it's still just a basic M2.
Yeah, they had which comes with 6 gig of RAM, isn't it? Or I think was, or did come with 6 gig of RAM. I don't know
how much RAM the new iPad Airs are coming with.
No, but I mean, the storage starts at 128. It's not great, but it's better than it was. 256, that was... if you've got to look at it, okay, it's not going to do all the whiz-bang AI stuff.
Yeah.
But you're right. If you were coming up from, say, where you are on the iPad Pro, this is a far more attractive upgrade, personally, I think, than, as you say, than jumping to the big-end iPad Pro. Unless you've got real specific use cases, why would you do it, you know?
Yeah. I say, okay, I would really like the promotion to be on the iPad Air. That's been the clincher for me. I do like the promotion, but you know what? I don't think I use the iPad enough to quibble about the promotion and pay all that extra money for it. I think I'm just going to go and get an Air.
It's a good looking device. And it looks like, let's be honest, it looks like a Pro.
It does look like a Pro. I think the base storage is 256 on it now. That's all I've got on my Pro. I don't need any more than that. I can just get away with the 11-inch for $599.
Okay. I thought that, the Pros start at 256, but
Airs... Air start at 128, do they? Maybe I'm mistaken.
Yeah, the Air start at 128, yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe it's slightly more then, but it's not going to be a huge amount more, I wouldn't have thought.
No, I think, to be fair, you're going to get a much better experience, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
What else is there? And they've also, Apple also dropped the price on the original iPad as well, didn't they? So the original iPads now have come down to, what was it? I had it written down somewhere. Oh, where's my notes? Can't see enough.
$349, wasn't it?
Thank you. So the Gen 10 iPad is now $349.
And they've got rid of the 9th Gen one, finally.
Yeah, well, about time. The only thing, and I keep saying this, I do not understand why the iPad Mini exists.
But there are some people absolutely love it.
Yeah, but the fact that the chassis is basically the Air chassis makes it a little bit chunkier than the original iPad Mini. But and it's not running M1. It's an A15 Bionic.
Yeah,
it does support the Pencil.
Which one?
Effectively, yeah. Which one? It's effectively the last generation Air, really.
Yeah. It is. It's an odd one. I think. Look, either kill it or upgrade it. Do something with it.
Yeah, I've seen it used with, Pulse terminals and things like that.
Yep. Because normal iPad's too big for that. Something you're holding for quite a long time, maybe you're reading something off of, great, I think. But, yeah, limited use cases, maybe.
Yeah, and I've seen it with some hardware stuff, plugged into, music adapters and other things like that, which would be, because that's perfect as a mixer and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, my view is if you either kill it or do something with it, on that front. So, was that everything? I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So we got no other announcements. They didn't talk about Vision Pro. They didn't talk about any announcements to Vision Pro coming out in other countries. We didn't see any announcements beyond these devices. Tim Cook did tee up WWDC, which I think would be much more around the AI. Well, we know it's going to be more around AI, but the iPad, I think, will focus into that. I think we'll see more around the AI capabilities of the iPad at that event. I will be interested to understand whether anything they were showing is M4 specific, whether there's anything else here that hasn't been released, or more to the point, whether anything in iPadOS 18 will be M4 specific.
Yeah. I think WWDC this year is going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the key. So that'll be something to look at. I mean, that's only what, a month or so away. Yeah. You know, we'll be covering that again with all the highlights and notes and that. But you know, I think we've got to look at this device. Is this now going to be a jumping off point into some of those capabilities? And which, if it is, you know, are you going to be left behind if you don't buy into the new iPad and potentially, obviously, whatever the iPhone 16 comes out with? Which
we won't, if you just go and buy the new iPad Air, you're not getting the M4.
No. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is that iPadOS 18, which will be teed up next month.
Yeah.
Will we see any, you know, capabilities that will only allow you to have on the M4? It'd be interesting also to see whether or not iOS 18 has any capabilities in there, which, again, we won't know whether they're going to be iPhone 16 specific until we get to September, will we?
No, exactly.
But it's just thinking ahead. So then, I think also then, what's this little rumor? which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? About folding devices.
I think we did.
So when, let me look back in the notes. We talked about folding devices way, 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 way back. God, I can't even think when we talked about.
It was only a couple of weeks ago.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm sure it was only a few weeks ago.
Maybe. I just
maybe.
Can't see.
Yeah.
Looking back through the show notes.
Yeah. No. There we go. Episode 164. Vision Pro engineers move to folding iPhone project.
Yes, I tell a lie. I skipped over that one. Obviously, yep. Delayed to 2027. Well, we have news for you now, don't we?
We do. Apparently, Apple is ramping up its work on its foldable devices, according to a new investor note. So, apparently, they're planning to mass produce a 20.3-inch foldable device, which is expected to be a new product line for Apple, targeting an ultra-high-end market, which is scheduled for 2025. And then shortly after 2026, we're allegedly getting the folding iPhone finally. But it's still undecided whether this is going to be a 7.9-inch or an 8.3-inch folding iPhone.
So this is clearly the ramp-up from the Vision Pro engineers jumping on the project, isn't it, driving it forward. So. Yep. Who are the analysts here? We've got Meeching Quo, and there was another analyst, wasn't there? Was there another analyst?
Something. Penn, was it?
I think so, was it? So we've got two sources here saying pretty much the same thing then, haven't we, to say
we
that.
Have indeed, so, yeah.
Mass production of a 20.3-inch foldable device in late 25. So that's an iPad, clearly. It's got to be, isn't it? It's got to be an iPad.
Is it an iPad or is it a MacBook?
No. I don't think it is. I think it's an iPad.
Yeah. Touchscreen on a MacBook over Steve Jobs' dead body kind of thing. Yeah.
Steve Jobs rolling in his grave. So we've got an iPad here. So 20-inch implies that I think it's going to be a 10-inch folding iPad, basically, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a similar kind of size when folded, or slightly smaller than the current iPad Pro 11-inch one.
So if they're saying mass production late 25, that would imply then a March timeframe for release,
which is kind of the iPad one, but they're also saying the same for the iPhone as a late 2026, which wouldn't work with a normal iPhone schedule unless it's announced in September and comes a bit later. We've seen that before.
Yeah, but I would imagine if this is the major iteration in the iPhone lineup, they'd want to. This would be a September launch as a new headliner in the. Rather than an outlier, because surely, that being said, would it just be a fork in the iPhone lineup, a bit like the mini device?
Is this the iPhone Ultra?
Yeah, because they won't want to cannibalize existing market in case it doesn't sell very well. And again, given the potential of the price,
I'd say this is going to be a very pricey device.
Yeah, so I imagine you're right. It could be announced at the event, but may not show up until the later period, but of course then that would mean that Apple's refresh cycle would be out for that particular device.
What was that last time? Was it the first Max versions of the iPhone? I remember having to wait till December to get my phone because it wasn't released until then. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was the first time they brought out the larger version of the iPhone.
Oh God, that was what, the 7, wasn't it?
Or 6, oh no, no, maybe plus. It was later on than that. There was one of them. You had to wait till December before you could get in the shop.
For the plus version, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a possibility. I can't, you know, I think here, but I look, I'm still undecided here, because I said my view is before is that Apple are not going to go anywhere near this market unless they can be 100% confident that this is going to be, you know, perfect for the screen tech, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. We've still got a little time.
We have got some time. We'll be there to capture up and give you the latest updates on that. So, on that point then, I think it's probably a good place for us to wrap up for today. We'll be back in a week's time for episode 168. God, I can't believe we keep getting these numbers. Keep increasing. As always, all of our show notes are on techrant.online, and we're still on X, Twitter, whatever it's called, this week at Weekly Tech Rant. So, if that's the case, please leave us a subscription. That would be great. What are we subscribing to? I have no idea. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're not doing so already. Please tell a friend about us and leave us a comment. It all helps to get us up through that magical podcast charts and gets the view numbers up and obviously gets the word out there around the podcast. So back to the original ending. I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good one all.